Hello, everyone. Once again, welcome to the Preacher's Forum podcast. I am your host, Dr. Clint Haycock. Now, I say the Preacher's Forum podcast, but I have actually just changed the name of this podcast from the Preacher's Forum to Mind Shift. So that's going to be the new name of this podcast. And after a lot of thinking and a lot of careful deliberation, I decided to make this move. The reason is that about 5 or 6 years ago, I started my website, preachersforum.com, and I was primarily aiming it at preachers and those who speak and preach regularly because I had done so much work on my doctoral thesis on the subject of preaching, and I had a lot of material in terms of things like articles that I had written and sections from my thesis that I was thinking I was going to publish on my website. And then around about February of this year, I decided to start the Preacher's Forum podcast. But the feedback that I've been getting from listeners over the last several months is that it's too restrictive of a title. It seems like you look at it and say, well, this is a podcast for preachers. It has nothing to do with me. And actually, the purpose, the mission has really changed and morphed over the last several months. And the tagline stays the same, really. Critical thinking about God, the church, and spirituality. And the fact is that the more podcast episodes I do, and especially this one today that I'm bringing you with my good friend Gary Hayes, we're actually ironically going to be talking about preaching. But that's what we're doing. We're not talking about preaching as in how to preach a sermon. What we do in this episode today, it's called Preaching with a Bias. And we do apply critical thinking both to the aspect of what does it mean to be proclaiming something, you know, from the Bible, as it were, or a topic or something from Scripture, and also what it means to listen to sermons. And we really discover in the first half of this episode, part one, that really when you hear a sermon, if you've been like me and you've been listening to sermons all your life, I mean, I grew up in church, and I've heard probably thousands of sermons. I've preached certainly hundreds of sermons myself as a pastor, as an elder over the years. And we really take a look at what the effect on listeners can be. And we'll talk about some of our experiences when we were in church leadership in the first half of this episode, Preaching with a Bias. And then in the second one coming next week, Gary and I will look a bit more at some fundamentalist or conservative views, both of the Bible and of how that text is preached to an audience, and again, what the effect can be. And this is all about mind shifts, as I've been calling the title of these episodes for a long time now. This series that I'm doing turned into the name of this podcast. And so no longer will it be called the Preacher's Forum Podcast. This is the Mind Shift Podcast, critical thinking about God, the church, and spirituality. And on the subject of critical thinking, when it comes to preaching, you look, for example, at one of the greatest books I've ever read, Fred B. Craddock, as One Without Authority, and he looks at this dynamic between the hearer and the listener of sermons. You know, why, he says, why do people return week after week? Why do you go to church on a Sunday morning? Why do you endure what the preacher serves up? And this is what Craddock asks. He says, quote, why do people week after week return to their hard chairs before dull pulpits to hear a preacher thrash about in a limbo of words, relating vaguely to some topic snatched desperately on Saturday night from the minister's own twilight zone? Habit? In some measure, yes, but the sermons that they've been hearing have been such as to break even the strongest addiction. End quote. And that's what Craddock says. And he says that, I believe deep down there's a hope. Maybe we will actually hear a word from God today. Well, that's certainly the hope, perhaps, in a lot of people's minds as they sit in church week after week and listen to boring, dull, and uninspiring sermons. As Gary and I get into this discussion today, we realize there's a whole lot more to preaching. There's sort of a social construct that goes on. There's an awful lot of bad theology, toxic teaching out there. And in fact, if you listen to some of my previous podcasts over the last few weeks with either Steve Austin or Mark Allen Shelsky, we talk about this. And the truth is that what people say in sermons can have a huge impact on people's mental health, on their relationships with other people. And so this is a hugely important topic. And the fact is, you are not being objective if you're a preacher. That is just a simple fact. It's a simple observation that's been proven now. It's been the subject of many studies. The fact is, there is no such thing as true objectivity. We're all biased. And that's why I call this episode Preaching with a Bias, because when you actually break it down and you examine the process that a preacher goes through and you look at the theological bias and the agendas that sometimes come into play and what's actually happening both in the interpretation, the exegetical side of the sermon, as well as the actual proclamation side, the sermon itself, when it's delivered, what kind of a legacy, what kind of a purpose is the preacher accomplishing in this process? And it has a huge effect on people. You may not realize it. If you're a preacher, you may not have ever questioned your own presuppositions and your own theological or hermeneutical biases at all. But the fact is, this is what Gary and I begin to explore in this episode, and we'll get into more of it in the next episode next week as well. We'll look at some evangelical or even fundamentalist approaches to preaching and sort of break them down and deconstruct them. Now, why would we do that? Well, the simple fact is that I believe, as I say, so many preachers have actually not really sat down and examined what it is they are trying to do. And so this episode, yes, it is aimed at those who preach, but it's also aimed at listeners of sermons. And so you'll hear Gary and I talk about the effect that preaching and the whole church culture really can have on a person's private personal life and their belief systems, the way they act and the way they treat people as they are shaped and molded, perhaps in some cases over years or even decades of listening to sermons. What are we actually listening to? What are we actually filling our minds with? And this is all part of the process. We call it either a theoclasm or deconstructing your faith, or as Richard Rohr would say, moving into the second half of life. And so Gary and I are here today to help you either to begin to do that maybe for the first time or further you a little bit along the journey of deconstructing your faith. And if we can help you to have a theoclasm, then so much the better. That's what we're here to do. Now, before we get to this episode with Gary and myself, the first half of Preaching with a Bias, I'll just say really quickly that I'll talk a little bit at the end of the show about how you can get a hold of myself and Gary on social media. And I'm just going to give a quick preview. We have a show coming up. We have a two-part episode beginning in 3 weeks with a guy that is absolutely a most thought-provoking and challenging conversation. I've been reading his book. It's a guy called Dr. Hector Avalos. He's a professor of religious studies and biblical studies at Iowa State University. And he wrote a book called The Bad Jesus, The Ethics of New Testament Ethics. And he is what they call a new atheist. And we had an absolutely fantastic conversation about his book, New Atheism, and the subject of biblical literacy. So stay tuned for those episodes coming up in a few weeks with Dr. Hector Avalos. It will certainly blow your mind and challenge your presuppositions. All right, now that we've gotten the business out of the way, let's get on into this episode called Preaching with a Bias with myself and Gary Hayes right here on the Mind Shift Podcast. Hello, everyone. This is, again, Clint Haycock. I'm here with my good friend, Gary Hayes.
It's great to be back.
We are once again coming to you from the kitchen of Gary's house in Liverpool, England.
That's right. Liverpool in England. Not to be confused with Liverpool anywhere else.
Is there another Liverpool somewhere?
I think there's one in Australia.
There's not one in America, though, I think. We stole all kinds of town names from the Brits, didn't we?
Well, because you can't think for yourself, that's why.
It's true. We started going, wait, we're running out of names. Let's just put the word new in front of it.
Hey.
So instead of York, it's New York. Yeah, instead of Jersey, it's New Jersey. Yeah. You know, so we're pretty clever when
How about getting a new president?
Oh, some people are working on that, I think. Yeah, we'll see what happens for sure. But, you know, where I'm from on the West Coast, we just stole the Native American names, you know, so we'd run out of English and British names to use and put the word new in front. So we just stole from the, land from the Native Americans. We stole their names for places too. So, you know, we're not very original thinkers, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, I suppose that makes sense because you're going to come across from Europe on boats and hit the East Coast.
We'll hit something, yeah. And we started working our way toward the West and pushing the Native Americans out of the way as we went. Now, on this podcast episode, this is part of this Mind Shift series. Gary and I have done a few on this before, haven't we? We've done one on theoclasm, which is, I guess you could say, it's also a mind shift.
It is. It comes from this, the word there is theo, meaning God, and clasm or clast, meaning to disrupt or to break. It doesn't mean to dispose of.
You're not throwing everything out.
We're not throwing God out. But I've discovered that I have come closer to God. I experience God. I mean that word. I mean that word when I say experience.
Yeah, not just a word you're throwing out there.
I experience God much more deeply and richly, and what I'm going to say authentically, because my old model of God was disrupted. I went through a theoclasm. And so the old God, the God I would say of conservative, evangelical dogmatism, he doesn't exist for me anymore.
Yeah, that God doesn't work, never really works, actually. I mean, he did work on some level, didn't he?
He introduced me to God.
Yeah, that thing, whatever it was. Well, it's you know, you can't have a relationship with an idea or a concept. And that's the thing, is you can only have a relationship with a person, something personal.
That's right.
And so much of our doctrine gets defined as, and this is something Donald Miller talks about in Searching for God Knows What. He talks about you have to have a relationship with a person.
Yeah.
But so much of our theology gets defined as having a bunch of bullet points, principles, which we talked about in another podcast.
Yeah, in the last one. Well, I mean, God was there. You know, I would say that I did respond to God. But the church, the God that I responded to, the God who met me, to use that kind of language that we all know and understand, got somehow mixed up with a particular church's ideas and understandings and doctrines and, you know, their system, their way of doing things. So God kind of, you know, I didn't know God. I just, I had an experience as a teenage boy that moved me on such a deep level that it changed my life, that led me to go to church. And that was where I lost sight of God.
Ironically, that's got to be the ultimate irony. Go to church to lose sight of God.
And and
that's not why we go to church, is it?
And so within that, I was worshipping what I believed to be God, but really was a skewed, I'm going to use the word bastardized,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of version of God that fitted in with the socio-political, economic, theological,
it's a whole system, a whole package. Yeah. You take one part, you have to take the whole package.
Yeah. That's how it was. And then that all got disrupted. First, when I went to Bible school.
Ooh.
I went to study theology at Spurgeon's College in London. This is how arrogant I was. I'm 35 years old. I'm pastoring a church. I preach probably every week. And, you know, I'm really kind of, I think of myself as being the fount of all knowledge.
You're pretty special.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
And, I am.
You're all that in a bag of chips, as they say. Whoa.
And so I think that I'm going to go off to this Bible school in South London that was founded by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
Yeah, no small figure there.
And I'm going to go and teach them a thing or two.
Yes.
So within 6 months, I was a wreck. I had been smashed to smithereens. It hurt.
Yeah.
And I thank God for it.
Yeah, that's what started that was your first theoclasm.
That was my first theoclasm. I realized that there were Christians outside of Elton Green Fellowship.
Ooh, even that thought is pretty dangerous heresy.
Because you've got to realise that we were this introspective, exclusive little church that even if you was a Christian in another church, you weren't as Christian as we were.
Yeah, you had it all together.
We had the full revelation.
Yeah, capital R.
We used to call ourselves New Covenant Churches.
Ooh.
We had the New Covenant.
Yeah.
You guys in other churches, you didn't have it.
Don't have it. Now, this is interesting because in this podcast episode, we're talking about preaching. And this is such a big part, obviously, of the theology that gets promulgated within churches. As you say, you preached every single week.
Near enough.
Well, no, near enough. For years, I preached, not necessarily every week, but I preached for probably 10, 12 years, you know, most, probably once every 3 to 4 weeks. So we both come out of a long-standing tradition of preaching from the Bible, we would say. And, you know, what the question I always ask my students is, what sort of Christians are we producing in the church? You know, I tell them to think of it as sort of a factory. The raw materials come in the front door, and then out the back door comes the finished product. And it's been shifted and molded and tampered with and messed with and changed as a process. And a lot of that is hearing sermons. We're taught, we're trained, we listen to some person, man or woman up there talking from the Bible, ostensibly, whatever that means. We're going to get more into that in a minute, I think. And so they're hearing a particular hermeneutic, a way of interpreting the Bible, and it's most cases even applied for them. The preacher does all the work.
Yeah.
And this is, I mentioned this in another podcast. This is what Frank Viola talks about in his book, Reimagining Church. He says the problem with that whole way of approaching church and doing it that way is that it leaves the listeners of the sermon in a state of spiritual infancy.
Yes.
Because the preacher's done all the work for them.
That's absolutely right. I think that's the one of the big problems is, isn't it strange? You said, what kind of Christians are we producing? And as you were saying that, I'm thinking, I just want to hang my head in shame.
I think we both do.
The kinds of things that I used to preach, and whatever that produced in the lives of other people, I wish I could go and undo it and say, I'm so sorry, that just was not God. That was me. That was my bias.
Yeah.
That was my cultural preferences, whatever you want to say. I was just shoring up the machine that was this church. I was telling you what I knew you wanted to hear.
Yeah, but preaching the truth from the Bible.
Of course, because, I mean, how many times have you done it? I stood there with my Bible in my hand, a good black leather, Oxford long primer, authorised version, because that's the one that the Apostle Paul had.
Of course he did.
And I stood there, and I used to preach these sermons, and I'd point at my Bible like that, because one of those old-fashioned, you know, well, and I'm only telling you what the Bible says.
What the Bible says.
So therefore, you can't come and blame me because I'm just telling you what it says here.
Yeah.
Well, was I Eckers-like? That's a northern
put it bluntly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't telling anything like what the Bible says. I was giving my culturally biased, because I'm male. So I'll always read the Bible as a male.
Yep.
I'm white, so I'll always read the Bible as a white man. I'm a European. Not only am I European, I'm English. Not only am I English, but I'm a Londoner. Yeah. All of that is like lenses in front of my eyes.
Yeah, layers of lenses.
So as I'm reading, I'm interpreting what I'm reading, which has already been interpreted by the translator anyway.
Exactly.
Because the Bible was not written in English. Okay, it wasn't written with these and thous. It was written in Greek or Hebrew
or Aramaic.
And it's all been translated. And we all know that things get lost in translation. And not only that, then there's me as the reader. And then there's me communicating what I am understanding to the audience that I'm preaching to. And I've got the audacity to stand there and say, I'm only telling you what it says in the Bible. No, I wasn't.
Yeah, but that's a common thing. I think I've probably said something like that. Maybe not as often as you did, I don't know. But I've said that same kind of thing, you know, you don't get angry with me. I didn't say it.
That's right.
It's right here in the Bible. You know, don't have the problem isn't with me. It's with Paul or Jesus or somebody who wrote this. And it's not my problem. It's your problem.
Yeah.
I'm going to shift the blame onto the listener.
Yeah, I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah.
Shoot the originator of the message.
Exactly. So I'm standing out of the way. Now, obviously, volumes and volumes and volumes have been written on the subject of preaching. This is something that I studied from my doctoral thesis at the University of Chester. In fact, if you're really, really bored on an evening, you can actually go on my website, preachersforum.com. There's a link to my thesis, which I did on the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament.
Yeah. Sorry. My insomnia has just been cured.
Yeah. This is a surefire cure for insomnia. Read my doctoral thesis. But I had to study a lot on preaching, and that was, I guess, a theoclasm in a way, because I had similar kind of preconceived ideas that you did as a preacher coming out of a fairly conservative context, you know, and I thought, I'm being faithful to the text. And yeah, I honestly believe that. I mean, I want to be intellectually honest. I don't want to hoodwink people. You know, I preached a lot of sermons and I tried as much as I could. I read commentaries. I read, you know, different perspectives on it. But I still preached, at the end of the day, my interpretation of the text, which, as you say, was biased. It is. There's no way,
around it. You can't get away from it. You cannot preach an ancient text like that and not be biased.
Yeah, it's not possible.
It's not possible.
But it's when you don't admit it or don't understand that there is a series of lenses, as you say.
Yeah. What makes me angry, and the anger is at myself, okay, and the system that produced me.
You've been produced in that factory.
The system produced a monster. called Gary Hayes. Yeah,
I didn't know you were a monster.
I think, you know, I fell into the hands of the living God, and he demonstered me.
Yeah,
there's still a bit of monster now and again, you know. But the monster was that even without any scholarship, any biblical training, any understanding of ancient biblical languages, I believe that what I read and what I understood what I'd read to mean, that was what it meant. I believe that what I understood it to mean was what it actually meant.
Yeah, it's the truth. It's what it means. I read it.
Not for one moment do I believe that you've got to go off to a seminary Bible school and get a degree in, you know, biblical languages and exegesis and hermeneutics. Of course you don't have to do that. But would you expect your doctor to perform surgery on you if you hadn't been off to medical school and learned, you know, how the body works?
We would hope so.
How it all connected together. And if you cut that piece, then it might have an effect on that bit over there.
It just might,
You might want him to know what he's doing.
You'd hope so. You don't want to leave a wristwatch in there.
But we don't expect preachers to do that because we've got this idea of direct revelation. When I wanted to go to Bible school, I had a fight on my hands with my pastor because of the scripture that says that you will not need anyone teach you, but the Holy Spirit will teach you everything.
Yeah. What do you have a need for human beings to teach you? Mm. Yeah, the Spirit can do it all. So why go to Bible college?
So why do we send our kids to school?
Yeah. Exactly. Why? They have to learn something. They might admit that someone else might know something about other subjects that we don't know. It's kind of the height of arrogance, isn't it?
Yeah. It's okay if it's mathematics or a foreign language. Or say, no, yeah, well, yeah, go and learn from an expert. But, oh, no, not the Bible.
Yeah. But this is the problem, though, is the system that the church is part and parcel of that's producing those Christians I mentioned, like that factory. They're being fed into by Bible colleges and seminaries. Because I've read some articles about this, and they said, actually, if you're going to change, you can't just say we're going to change the system of the church, because the church is being fed into by graduates of Bible colleges, of seminaries. They're being taught particular hermeneutics. And obviously there's a wide range, obviously, of denominational traditions, and wildly liberal to the wildly fundamentalists and all kinds of Pentecostal and all kinds in between. But those graduates are going into churches, into ministry experiences, and they're carrying their education with them.
Listen,
and that's what happens.
Those congregations need to send their pastors back to the factory.
Yeah.
And say, this is, what's the word I'm looking for? Faulty yeah. goods. I want my money back.
Good luck. It's already been spent, I think.
Hey, tell us the story about that time you was on a bus coming back from the airport.
Yeah. Yeah, I was coming back from a holiday in Rhodes in Greece, which is a phenomenal place, by the way, to visit. And I ran into, at the time, a mutual friend of ours, a pastor.
He was my pastor at the time,
at a church here in Liverpool. And I had had an amazing week in Rhodes where someone kind of challenged me to kind of be open to the leading of the Spirit and just sort of go with the flow, I guess you could say, as far as you could say evangelism, mission, or just having conversations with people about spirituality and God and so forth. And someone said, you know, look for people who are doing the work of the kingdom, you know, who are just in tune with God on some level. And I had an amazing week, talked to so many people all over on the plane going down there and everything else. And my whole mind was blown. And I ran into this pastor at the airport in Liverpool as we were getting on the bus to come back. And I was sharing all these experiences with him. And I talked about this issue of the kingdom, you know, being looking for people who are not Christians but are doing the work of the kingdom. And that got Gary and our mutual friend Tim into a huge amount of trouble.
Unbelievable.
Over that apparently universalist theology.
Well, to the point where we were no longer able to go to that church anymore. The fallout of that was such that we had to leave the church just because you met the guy on a bus and you said the wrong thing at the wrong time.
I said the wrong thing. It's amazing that I was apparently a part, the spark that set off
bonfire. Can I thank you for getting on the bus and saying that stuff? Because it opened a door for me to move through. And
it got you out of there, even though at the time you didn't want to leave. You know, that was your church. You were in leadership there.
Yeah.
You preached there, didn't you?
Yeah.
You know, they let you preach. They never let me preach there, though. But
that's because you're a heretic.
That's true, yeah. I don't fit the mold, I think, for a lot of reasons. It might be the tattoos, the long hair, the goatee.
And you're American.
And American, yeah. I don't fit in, but that's the problem, isn't it? You have these conversations, and it goes against the theology that's been carefully crafted.
Well, he then came to me, the pastor. I don't know if it was the same night or the night after we had a church meeting, something going on, and he came up to me and he said, "Hey, I met your friend Clint on the bus." And he was telling me some stuff about this. And he said that people like Richard Branson, you know, could be doing the work of the kingdom. He said, "Do you agree with him?" And I said, "Well, if Richard Branson's using his resources to alleviate poverty and bring about peace and justice in the world, well, that's exactly what God wants." Yeah, so,
what's wrong with that?
So, yes, he could be doing the work of the kingdom. And he hit the roof.
Yeah.
And he started accusing me, saying, "You're a pastor, you're a preacher, you're a teacher, and you're going to receive a worse judgment than anybody else if you teach anything erroneous," and la di la di la, and oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And it all kicked off. Do you know... Because the problem was, his mindset was such that you can only do the work of the kingdom. I'm doing this with my fingers again to show, you know, the
work air quotes.
Air quotes, as it were. You can only do the work of the kingdom if you are a Christian.
Yeah, you can only do it if you're a Christian.
If you're doing amazing things, like we mentioned my cousin Fred in the previous podcast, if you're doing this most amazing humanitarian, loving, caring stuff, but you're not a Christian, then none of that counts for squat.
Yeah, that's true.
You're still on the highway to hell.
The highway to hell. AC/DC had it right.
I saw them live at Hammersmith Odeon in London.
Oh.
Back in the...
With Bon Scott?
Yep. It would have been 82.
That's amazing. Yeah, I've only seen an AC/DC tribute band. I've never actually seen
I saw them again. I saw them headline in the Monsters of Rock at Castle Donington. They're going back in the 80s.
Epic gigs, man. These are epic shows. But of course...
We had White Snake headlining.
Wow.
AC/DC.
I have seen White Snake live a couple times.
Blue Oyster Cult.
Ooh. Now, Gary, that's all secular music. You can't be listening to that secular music.
Well, this is in the early 80s, before I hit the cult.
Ah, so you were
Once I'd joined the cults, I'm going to call it the cult, not the Blue Oyster cult, but the cults,
the church that you were a part of.
I'm going to call it that because it was. I'm genuinely. I'm not saying that. You know, I'm not being flippant. A little bit, but it was cultic.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Certainly. And then I went through the whole classic. What evangelical teenage boys do? Do you know what they do? They burn priceless record collections.
Yeah,
I'm talking black disc vinyls that have come back into fashion now and are worth a fortune.
Yeah, how much would they be worth now?
A lot of money, but they are now a big glob of molten black plastic at the back garden of number 54 Glenlee Road in Elton, South London.
Because shame.
I had that bonfire, obligatory bonfire.
Yep.
All of my Rush albums. I had Led Zeppelin bootleg discs that would be worth an absolute fortune.
Oh, no, you're breaking my heart, Gary.
I was a mad Lynyrd Skynyrd fan.
And
I went to Florida, and I went to a record shop in Florida. I'm only like, 19 at the time. And there's a Lynyrd Skynyrd disc with an album cover that you just can't get in the UK.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Because it had flames. Oh, and after the air crash, album cover was banned.
Right, so you couldn't get it over here in this country.
You couldn't get it, and I got it in a shop in Florida. Well, that went into the flames.
Into the flames.
Well. Yeah.
Oh, no. The things we do.
For love.
I was going to say for religion. the things we do for religion. And that there's that toxic theology again, isn't it?
Do you know? The
binary thinking, black and white thinking. You can't listen to secular music.
I didn't just have black vinyl, I had coloured vinyl as well.
Oh, no. You are killing me here, Gary.
Coloured vinyl record. But the thing is, it all comes back to this performance principle, doesn't it?
It must,
The old dualistic mind that, you've got to do, perform, to make God pleased with you. I mean, the number of times I remember, as a young Christian now, in this particular church, you wanted the pastor to approve of you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because if the pastor approved of you, that's the same as God approving of you. Now, I was learning how to speak. I'd had this speaking in tongues. I was doing that. And I was interpreting other people's tongues. And I was getting people coming up to me saying, that was spot on. Oh, you were really moving in the spirit there, brother.
Now the stroke the ego.
Oh, my gosh. And did I love it?
Oh, yes. Oh, but, of course, you're serving God, though. I mean,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
It was all evidence that I was walking the path.
You're a special person.
Oh, the right way. God approves of me. Now, I'll tell you this story. The preacher, there was the worship band were on the platform. Okay, the preacher was sat in front of me. Now, he was a good friend of mine, because I was like a protege of his. He was training me. He got up and went out to the toilet, but he left his sermon notes on the chair in front of him. Oh, guess what? I had a peek at those sermon notes during the worship while he's out, and I knew what he was going to preach about.
Yes.
He comes back in, there's a quiet bit. I launch into a prophecy all about what he's about to preach about.
Oh, no.
He gets up on the platform and he says, Gary, you're spot on tonight. You're really moving in the spirit.
Absolutely. See, I thought you were going to say you stole his preaching notes. See, that would have been thinking.
I got some glory for myself.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So, yeah, you're basically cribbing his notes and coming up with a, quote, prophecy.
I turned his notes into a prophecy that supported him, but it also got me a bit of some brownie
it's
points
a win-win.
As well. I mean, who could lose?
How can you go wrong? And it was all the truth.
Yeah, it was all the truth. Of course it was.
Well, thanks again, everyone, for joining myself and Gary Hayes on this episode of Preaching with a Bias Part 1. You know, that last story that Gary told me, it does kind of make you cringe, doesn't it, to hear what he did. But it makes you think how much we are trying, or people are trying, perhaps, in churches to curry favor with the people that are in charge, even going to the extent of stealing the guy's sermon notes and creating a prophecy, quote-unquote, to try to get the guy to say what a great and spiritual person he was. And it makes you realize, as I said at the beginning, that preaching really is a social construct. Yes, there's some person up there doing something with the Bible or from the Bible, whatever it is he or she's trying to do. But there's a whole lot more to it. And the things that preachers say, they may not necessarily realize it, but they have huge consequences on people's lives. And this is part of the deconstruction process. When you begin to think, when you begin to question, okay, what is it I'm hearing? What is it that I'm doing as a result of the things that I'm hearing, the teachings that I'm receiving, the theology that I've been receiving? Because the truth is, so much of it, as Gary said in the episode, in preaching has to do with people going to church and expecting to hear a theology or a process that affirms what they already think they believe. And you as a preacher, if you're a preacher, you can't be seen to deviate from that process or those beliefs. You have to prop up the system, or as Gary says, you know, keep the machine going and keep the plate spinning. And if you question those things, like I did with my story of meeting the pastor on the bus in Liverpool, it ended up getting Gary and Tim, our friend Tim, in a lot of trouble. And actually, it ended up getting them basically kicked out of the church, kicked out of church leadership. Just a seemingly random conversation on a bus. And especially when I'd had such a phenomenal time in Rhodes and had so many great conversations with so many people all over the place about spirituality. And the cool thing was, I never started one conversation. You know, and then I was all excited to share this, and it ended up being something that ended up getting Gary and Tim basically fired from this church. But as Gary said, it started him, in a sense, on this path towards deconstruction. So in the end, it was a good thing. So I don't know where you're at in your journey. You know, I came across one guy on Facebook the other day who got fired from a job in the States. He was working at a conservative Christian organization, and he questioned some things, and they turned around and let him go, even though it had a huge impact on him and his family. And there seems no concern or no care for what happens, and they're so threatened by alternative points of view. And you have to question, what exactly is preaching? And I'm coming more and more to the conclusion that for me, preaching is more about sharing my own journey, and we'll talk about it, we'll have a discussion. I'm not going to stand up there and open the Bible and tell you what I think it says and how you should live your life. And so this is all part of the journey, as I say, of deconstruction and thinking things through. And I want to be in a community that's open and affirming and inclusive, rather than being a part of the communities that I was a part of for so long that were closed-minded and shutting people out and shutting people down if you dared to question these things. So if you're on this journey towards deconstruction, if Gary and I have helped you at all, I would love to hear from you. You can follow myself and Gary on Twitter. You can find Gary at Theoclastic. You can find me on Twitter at Preachers Forum. And you can find me as well on Instagram at Preachers Forum. You can also stop by and like my Facebook page, facebook.com/The Preachers Forum. You can also check out some of the articles that I'm writing on my Preachers Forum website, preachersforum.com. If you go to the top, you'll see Preachers Forum blog, and follow that link to other articles that I've written on a wide range of subjects. And then finally, you can send me an email, preachersforum@gmail.com, and I will respond to you. And then finally, just one last comment. If you have found the work of the Mind Shift or the Preachers Forum podcast helpful to you at all, you can support the work of what I'm doing and helps me pay for things like podcast hosting and travel expenses and equipment and other things like that for just as little as $1 a month. What can you possibly buy for a dollar? The answer is not much. But for $1 a month, you can support the work of the Mind Shift podcast and the Preachers Forum website. You can help me get the word out there and help people to deconstruct and think and challenge what they believe and what they think they believe. So be a part of the Mind Shift podcast. If you want to get some more information, go to patreon.com/preachersforum, and there's some more information on why I started this podcast and how you can become a member of the Mindshift podcast group on Facebook and join the community. All right, it's time to wrap up and let you go. I just want to say one last thing. Don't forget, next week is part two of Preaching with a Bias with myself and Gary Hayes. And then the week after that is the first installment of Dr. Hector Avalos. We talk about the bad Jesus and new atheism and a whole lot of other very challenging and interesting topics in our talk. So thank you once again. I am your host, Dr. Clint Haycock. Thank you for joining me right here on the Mindshift podcast.